Okay, I'm here with Mike Cannon. We're just going to start a podcast at the airport. But first, what do you think is going to happen with this rental car?
I mean, it does smell a little bit like weed. I never notice until I just get back into it.
Okay.
I don't think it's not smoky, so I don't think it's a problem.
That's not what I was talking about.
Okay.
I'm talking about I rented the car in Nashville with a return to Nashville.
Yeah.
And I had no intention of returning to Nashville, and instead I was going to turn it to St. Louis. So we're on our way back. I guess that's the teaser, and we will talk about what happened from the airport.
Yeah.
They have to take it.
What are they going to do? They're going to force you to drive it back?
Yeah,
there's
But, will it be like 100, 250, I'm hoping?
That seems like a reasonable price to just be like, hey, man, it's the same company.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
$1,000 and I'll be pissed.
Get one of your underpaid slaves to drive it back.
Yeah, how about I'll just give somebody $200? Well, anyway, we'll see. Coming up after the break. You ever just not have the energy? You ever just like, look, I gotta get shit done. But I don't gotta work that hard at it. That's how I felt. This whole weekend on the road with Mike Cannon. We're in, what the fuck were we? Buffalo. No, that's next week. St. Louis. We went on a hike, went to the zoo one day, went on a hike another day. I know, we were like, hey, let's do a podcast, but we kept putting it off. You gotta live your life. You gotta live your life. So we got it done. We got it done at the fucking airport from St. Louis.
That's right.
We spoke to you guys from... This is the fucking result of the DIY model. It's not just that people can do it everywhere. It's that they'll do it anywhere. You're either gonna read this as a fucking lack of effort or a monumental effort to get it done at the wire. A sacrifice bunt when you're down 7-1 in the ninth to beat the fucking spread. Yeah. I'm a national treasure, everybody. This country would fall apart without me. On today's episode, Mike Cannon. Shit, I already said that. Well, let me catch you up on everything, you guys. First of all, my special tapes in New York, June 11th and 12th. Get tickets at arishafir.com/tour. Oh, I think the Sunday shows are going to be the last times I ever do that. It's been fun doing that fucking Jew hour on the road. It's cool again. I met a Pentecostal lady in the audience in St. Louis. Pentecostal. Said her mom spoke to her in tongues. You gotta fucking question that shit, you guys. Unless it's real. Or perhaps she was just from a foreign country. And then she just never taught her daughter. It was just when she got mad, like fucking Ricky Ricardo. Nashville is great. The Ryman Theater. Fucking 1,500 people seeing a fucking storyteller show that we started in front of 12 people at the Improv Laughed. Lab, 1,486. I think that was the number. Bert just reminded me. Me and him, we were watching that show. I got back from Southeast Asia. Have I told you I've ever been to Southeast Asia? I got back, went straight to Nashville Wild West Comedy Festival. I did a This Is Not Happening show at Third Man Records. They made a record out of it. They have not released it yet, but... Someday. They got to locate the fucking footage. But someday. What a great one that was. What was I going to say? Me and Bert and somebody else, Nate Bargatze, were up there watching Larry the Cable Guy. So I told the Ryman audience, I was like, hey guys, this is a historic venue for me to be playing. I mean, Dolly Parton played here. You know, Johnny Cash played here. They all played there. It's been around since 1890, a church in a city where Jews weren't probably even allowed, I guess, I'm assuming. And now a Jew was playing in one of their, Dolly Parton played here. And I told that crowd that that venue meant nothing to me. I'm not in country music. I barely listen to it. I listen to some, very little. I like that Zac Brown song about the pond and fishing. Who doesn't like fishing? And then that one about the three chicks who kill that dude. Fucking nice. That's an upbeat fucking murder anthem. Dixie Chicks are the same as Eminem. True or false? Discuss it at home. But I was like, yeah, this meant nothing to me. Dolly Parton was a terrible comedian, by all accounts. Terrible comedian. Why would I care? But I did see Larry the Cable Guy up here about 5 years ago. And that was cool. Me, Nate Bargatze, and Bert Kreischer. And this is what Bert Kreischer said to me. Hold on to these moments of things he'll say. He won't be around much longer. You know what I'm saying? You got to cherish what you have while you can. I'm sick of fucking, you know, worried about what's going to happen in the future. Oh, if you don't have retirement, you're going to be a Walmart salesman. Guys, you're talking about your 70s now. Let's live for today. And we got this guy, Bert Kreischer, around today. Really appreciate that. Immediately your mind goes, oh, I'm going to miss him. But don't do it. Stay in the positive. Got this guy named Bert Kreischer. He told me he remembered what happened up there. We're all looking at this venue. And Nate Bargatze at the time said, no, Bert Kreischer went first. I'm sorry, Bert. I'm messing it up. He's one of our greatest storytellers, you guys. He won't be here forever. It's a debate on how long he won't be here and how soon he won't be here. But at some point, he'll be gone forever. So let's cherish him. It could easily be sooner. He said, we were all talking, and Bert goes, I'll never be able to play a place like this. And Nate was like, I'll definitely play this someday. And they both have. And I said, fuck this place. What a great show, though. Fucking Soder, Sal Volcano, Nate Bargatze in the town he owns. He owns Nashville Comedy. Shane Gillis, Big J. It was fucking crazy. What a fucking great show. The next one's on this coming Monday at the Village Underground. It's sold out as fuck, but I think there'll probably be like 20 wait list tickets if you want to show up early. I don't know, but probably. There usually are some no-shows. All right, so what do we got? So me and Mike Cannon talked. Mike Cannon's a great comic. He fucking killed it all weekend. I don't know, guys. That is something I'm supposed to tell you. Oh, I know. I'm supposed to do an ad. But tell you what. Okay. YouTube users, you can fucking see a 2.5 second advertisement from my Patreon. And the rest of you, you're about to hear an ad. Oh, that's cashed. Oh, it's dark. Oh, it sucks when you over fucking smoke a bowl. God damn it. You know when you never have that problem? With gummies. Specifically, Delta 8 gummies from 3chi.com. That's right, guys. Go to the number 3chi.com. Oh, I gotta put some more fucking bubbles in front of my dick. Or not only am I going to get demonetized on YouTube, but also I will lose a fucking editor. Okay. What was I going to say? Get there. 3chi.com. Guys, they have gummies. Delta 8 gummies. It's federally legal. So even if you're dumb states, not one of those fucking states that are fucking... Do you know Nashville? You can get caught smoking weed in Nashville. In the fucking prostitute capital of Tennessee. That's crazy. That's absolutely wild. Anyway... Not that problem. With gummies from Delta 8. Come on, all right, get there. I'm ripped, you guys. I'm going to be honest with you. This is not the most professional ad read, but it will go longer than you think. It's 3chew.com. Oh, you get 5% off your order if you use the promo code Ari at checkout. It might also be 3chew.com/Ari, but I think it's Ari at checkout. Anyway, don't drive on them. Don't do podcast recordings on them. And what else aren't you supposed to do on them? You can fuck. No law against that. Okay. Anyway, it's not CBD. Go to 3chew.com. Use promo code Ari at checkout. Get 5% off your order for Delta 8 gummies, tinctures, oils, and something. I don't know. The gummies, though, you guys. The gummies are my jam. At 3chew, the number 3chi.com. All right. Now back to the episode. Well, we are quickly running out of dick covering, holy dick covering bubbles. And at that point, the introduction will legally have to be over. Real quick, you guys. Yeah, you know what I mean? Just like, you'll get it done. I know a lot of you took Zoom meetings in fucking underwear. Obviously. Right? Or from a place. You're like, you know, how many of you, be real. How many of you took a Zoom meeting on vacation and pretended like you were working all day? Either skiing, the cabin in general, the woods or something, buddy's house, bachelorette weekend. How many of you did it? Be honest. If you didn't, are you regretting now not having done it? Yeah. For the people who just got COVID now, don't you regret not using it as an excuse like over a year ago? Now that you know you get it again and you didn't get it in that time. So I get the idea of saving an excuse for that moment. But in hindsight, well, you didn't get it again and you didn't get it ever, whatever. You regret not using it as a free excuse to get out of work, right? It's got to be the same for whatever the fuck I was just talking about. Guys, it's great to be on the road doing this fucking Jew Hour. It's great to have a fucking killer like Mike Cannon, this whole fucking tour. Leading up to the special, I got fucking Murderer's Row. Next week's Reggie Conquest, from whose ass has been featured heavily on the channel Home Box Office. Caitlin Palufo after that in, Reggie was in Buffalo. Caitlin Palufo after that in Jacksonville. Nope. Louisville, Derby weekend. Big mistake in booking on my part. Then, I don't know. Kansas City's one of those weeks. Anthony DeVito's doing it. And then Adrian Appalucci's with me in Jacksonville. That's one of those weeks. And then in fucking Austin. Quick in the Cave. And then the special. And after that, Chicago and Minneapolis. Let's do the episode. Right? Okay. I think so. Mike Cannon, everybody. Stay tuned. It was a good episode, I think. It's hard to remember. Listen, let's be honest. This is a real chance doing this in here. And I don't have the time to do it again. I got dinner plans. I'm fitting this in as best I can. I'm still going to give it my all, but sometimes you got to use a new bat. Sometimes you got to get up and back to practice, and I go, I'm going to use a new bat or a new stance, and I'm like, hey, maybe it's going to be fucking awesome, but there's a chance it won't be, and that's a chance we'll all take together. I'm still going to try to hit it out of the park. Guys, do you ever feel like you're going underwater? Like you're like, your whole sanity's hanging on. It's more tenuous than the fucking bubbles covering a grown man's cock as he records an intro and ad read on his podcast. A podcast. It didn't exist when he was starting. And still, you feel like you're going under, like, oh no, I can't, you know, you can't, everything's happening. And it's like, oh, if my dick comes out, they're going to fucking lose. And everything's fucking anxiety and depression and all that shit. Why? Two reasons. Money and time and effort. And I guess you got to admit you have a problem. This is for betterhelp.com. Okay. Maybe you have a problem. I can't help you with that. I don't know. Money, it's cheaper on betterhelp.com. It's less money. Same thing. They put you with a fucking, you know, therapist. Less time. You don't have to go. So, okay. I think we can all understand that. You have limited amount of time. You fucking, you know. Oh, I got to take my therapy meeting, but I'm not going to fucking make an appointment and go across town. The traffic alone will cut my... And we're all overworked. If the only there was a way to do this from the comforts of your bubble bath at home. Still covered. Well, now there is. BetterHelp.com. Pretty much they come to you. I don't know what their policy is on fucking having your dick out under the table or your box out. Don't get it munched. Don't, like, take advantage of it, you know? BetterHelp.com. Use promo code Ari. I gotta finish this. I gotta finish this, or I won't be able to do this with one take, which is what I always. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So here's the episode. Me and fucking we had. I told you what happened. We're trying to return the car. When we get back, I'll tell you about the car. What happened with that? And then let's go. Here we go. Subscribe, and go. Start it. Oh, in plain sight, if Mike can. Start it. Yeah. I sometimes do these in public, and then I think I'm way too uncomfortable with people staring at me.
Yeah, I think it adds a nice dynamic, though, because these people are truly mortified for us.
Mortified? Like, what are they doing? Are they influencers?
That's a three-camera shoot in the middle of the American Airlines, just a regular-ass...
St. Louis Airport.
Not a lounge.
Not a lounge at all. You would think, like, if Rogan did this, he'd be like, hey, can I call ahead and get a private wing for myself?
Yeah, can I just rent out the JetBlue quarry?
Yeah, and they'd be like, well, that's going to cost a lot of money. He goes, that's not something that I have. I don't relate to that. Oh, shit.
Did you press record? Oh, you found some change.
Yeah, dude. A lot of these people preoccupied with heads or tails. Bah. Free penny.
Red banner day. And I got to say, You need every cent to accumulate towards the $300 fine you just paid.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Back from the teaser. They did not buy our excuse. She didn't seem to say I was lying.
No. She just said, this is what's happening.
Yeah. She was like, okay. Technically, she goes, I'll waive the fee. I have the audio. We'll see if it'll work. I put it at the very end. But she goes, I'll waive the one-way fee, which was $300, and I'll change it to a one-way reservation, which was like $297 more dollars.
Yeah, they saved you subway fare.
They did save me a subway fare, non-jump subway fare.
But like I said, it's kind of an interesting thing to see you try to try to have her empathize with you while you're wearing just a clear pedophile t-shirt.
Louis has sex with young boys.
Yeah. The guy at the breakfast bar this morning was like, first of all, pouring either pepper or salt on an apple, which I've never seen in my entire life. I guess that's a St. Louis
thing. No matter what it is, it's wrong.
It's fucking bonkers. And he caught your shirt and then just tried to zoom punch in focus on it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, she was on our shuttle. What was I going to say? Yeah, I love playing it. You ever do this where you play a lie, but you like convince yourself that it's true?
Yeah.
So like you're like, well, wait, what?
And then you get mad.
Yeah.
That's how you beat a detector.
Is believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can do that. I could trick myself into believing a lie like really quickly.
Really?
Because if it suits me,
yeah,
then I'm forced to believe it. And most of my memories, I believe, are probably pretty fabricated as is. So what's the difference?
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Joe List had this thing. It's like, well, at some point when you're telling stories, you're not remembering the story. You're remembering the retelling of the story.
Yeah.
So you really have lost any sort of like, is this real or not?
That's right. Yeah.
I
have a story on my first album about doing mushrooms with this guy who had like a full blown freak out. He took 6 grams, like lost his mind.
It was too much.
It was fun to watch. But the whole story now is the bit I told. I don't know, like, I don't remember some of the small little nuances that even made the story better, but you couldn't include on stage because it just lost people's attention.
Interesting.
You know, but
because they'd be like, this is boring.
Yeah, it's right. Just like, we don't need.
Sister was, I had a crush on a sister.
Yeah. Or the books you were reading, like while on mushrooms, the artist's name, like
that
all is the
weird about mushroom stories. You're like, and this was so interesting. It's like, just to you, dude. Yeah. It's like a dream. There was some comic, I forget her name. I never knew her name, but she was a young like comic at the Improv. Mm. This one's going to die.
Yeah, this one too. It's got one bar.
That's a solid bar, though. This is a tiny little bar.
Oh, yeah, you got a baby bar.
Well, we'll see. She had a joke. She goes, when people tell you about their dream, it's the most uninteresting thing in the world.
Yes.
Except when they go, but you were in it. They go, oh, what? Yeah. I was in it? What was I doing?
Yeah.
In this made-up world, doesn't even matter.
It's also the easiest, and I don't know if this still works. It probably doesn't, because the last time I hit on a girl was in, like, 78.
Yeah.
But doing, but saying I had a dream about you.
Wow.
That was my instant in like high school, a little bit of college, but I think I even aged out of it at that point. But high school is big.
Yeah, I had a dream about you. Want to hear a great pickup line? You have to do it when you're like around 30 to 40.
Mm.
Any girl from your high school that has been divorced. So now she's like, "What? I want my youth back, whatever. Yeah. Am I attracted?" Go, you know, I always had a crush on you in high school.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because it doesn't do anything. It's like, yeah, it was half our life ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're 32, it was 16. Like,
yeah.
But they remember, like, yeah, I was attractive once.
Yeah.
And you're bringing me there.
And it's easy to move on from if they have no interest.
Right, they have no interest. Like, oh, yeah, well, we had a crush on lots of people. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm happily.
We all
happily.
Did.
All right, no, I would never. Yeah, I would never leave my wife for you. That's...
That's
your no, you no, no. I wasn't either.
Yeah. Do you have a ton of friends that have gotten divorced?
I guess so. Not a ton.
I have some that should, and that have been threatening, and it hasn't panned out. Like it just didn't work.
Yeah, and all your friends are like, yeah, do it already.
Yeah,
get a divorce.
Well, especially when they bring you into the conflict, and they're like, man, it's time. I think it's time to step away. Like we helped one of my buddies look for lawyers. Like,
really?
Yeah. And it just like, it never materialized. And none of us have spoken about it since. So it's the ultimate, like,
it's there.
I guess we're pretending that
what's
never happened.
What's worse than a friend bitching about their girlfriend saying, I'm breaking up, fuck her. And you commiserate like, yeah, fuck dude. She sucked. Whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's like, we're back together. Yeah. And it's like, come on. Like, we can't look at you. We can't ever talk to you. You can't bring her around here anymore.
Yeah. That's why I always tread lightly on my commentary about the person, where I'm always just more positive about what their life is going to be post breakup than I am about, like, fuck that bitch. She sucked. I never liked her.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's
it's always just like, fun, it's like, dude, laid. You're going to be, this is a new, you're starting your life.
Because worst case scenario, the girlfriend's like, I heard you said he was going to fuck a lot.
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean, I was trying to comfort. I didn't say you were a bitch.
And
I thought it though.
And he will, but I've told my friends' wives that too, where they're like, you know, we've joked around about that stuff, and they're like, what do you mean he could fuck? And I'm like, isn't that how he got you? Isn't that literally what you were attracted to? The fact that he looked like a virile man?
Uh-huh.
Why are you upset?
Is that Norman's? I don't want to say Norman's joke, but whatever.
It's similar to the Patrice thing of like where he goes fishing, you catch a fish and then you usually throw it back. But then his girl jumped back on the boat. And then after a while, she's like, why do you still have a boat? Like mad at the thing that
here.
Got her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're pissed about this world.
It's such a good.
Like we met at swingers parties. Yeah. We met at Coke swingers parties. That's the craziest thing when your friends are like Coke heads and then they meet that. And now they're like parents. You know who I'm talking about. You know I'm talking about you. It's cool. He still does coke.
Yeah.
But like, it's weird. It's like, are you a mother? You're a fiend.
Yeah. I still know. I mean, I have some friends that still party.
Really?
With kids. Like, they don't party with their children, but they'll like cut it up and do some pretty reckless shit. And I'm just like, man, the last thing I want to do, this is enough to keep me away from coke forever, is I just don't want my son to learn that I died from coke. Even if it's
coke.
A fuck up.
Died from coke would be bad.
It's always a fuck up.
What
it's always an accident.
Like, he couldn't handle his drugs.
He's a pussy.
Not even did drugs. Couldn't handle them. What? Oh, yeah. We're all testing for fentanyl back then, but Mike was just like, man, I'm sure this is good. And then he died. What a fucking idiot.
Yeah, that's why I always have. I don't have like a testing kit, but I do have Sagalo. So
that's a festival tester.
Yeah, dude, we got that Mexican Klonopin. He took it. 40 minutes later, I saw that he was still breathing.
I took it.
This was in Mexico
on the cruise.
On the cruise, yeah, we bought it at the Farmacia with an F.
Yeah,
and we asked the lady.
Pharmacia.
We were like, is there like how do we know that there's no fentanyl? And she goes, I don't know. She literally said, I don't know.
From a pharmacy, it's right.
On a man-made island?
It's still a pharmacy, though.
Yeah.
It's not a street dealer. Although it could be. There was that story in China. They had an Apple store.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the glass steps?
Yeah, yeah.
You go up there. It fell through.
Oh, shit.
And someone was there, and they sued Apple. And Apple's like, hey, that's not our store. They're like, no, it's an Apple store. They're like, no, they just replicated our store. That's a knockoff store. So I'm sorry you fell, and I'm sorry they made it seem like us, but that's just a Chinese knockoff, like no copyright laws country. Yeah, so maybe the pharmacy is like, yeah, it's just a dealer.
We just put a green cross on the wall, and you guys bought it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. So, but Brendan took that. He also has been a
listen. If you got to lose one of you guys, lose Brendan. You got the bigger upside. You got the longer life for sure.
I have a kid.
You have a kid. You're too. We can't lose you, Mike.
Yeah.
We can't lose you, Brendan. Like it was. You know, we'll have a memorial.
We will. And it'll be good. He'll be. He's also like a more formidable body to withstand poison because yeah. he's so fat.
Yeah, he's so fat. He's lost weight and now he's just fat.
Yeah, he's not even comically fat now. Now it's sad fat.
Yeah, sad.
I'm just kidding, Brendan. I love you so much.
Yeah, I know. Great. We just want to lose you. We don't want to have you here for five more years instead of three. Hey, how was that fucking ordeal at the TSA?
That was fun. So it turns out that I have been pre-checked for the last 8 years and have had no idea. I signed up at Yankee Stadium like 8 years ago, blacked out just to get through the line just quicker.
They're like, you want to go through, bypass the line? You're like, yes.
Yeah, I'll give my credit card, I'll whatever you want.
My thumbprints, whatever.
It just dawned on me when you were like, what, did they keep charging you? And I was like, have they just been charging me this entire time? Uh-huh. I had no clue, but that's exactly what's been happening.
I'm starting to see billboards of people like, we'll clean up your automatic like deposits, like your automatic charges.
That's
like,
a good business.
Like, I save $300 a month.
I'm no just shit. Like,
shit. I didn't know. Thank you, Patreon Damn. Subscribers who are no longer with me. You are still with me.
Yeah. and your support means everything.
Yeah. <it's>, yeah, it was like there was one old man working security for TSA Clear and TSA Pre.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, fuck, we want to do this podcast. And we're like,
do you feel like you have, because I have it because I'm from there, but like, do you feel like you have the New York pace now ingrained in your body? Like, does that infuriate you to
move,
the level?
Move,
yeah.
Move. After some time, I can get back there. Like, yeah. 2 days at the beach, 3 days maybe. Then I'm like, okay, I think I'm relaxed again.
It takes me seven. It takes me a full week. Yeah. Because I remember in Hawaii.
Look at that. Look up there. Like if you're in that seat on the TV. Oh, it's gone.
Dude, in Hawaii, I went to Hawaii for 11 days. Yeah. By the seventh day, I lucid dreamed for the rest. Yeah, that looks like kind of Andre Drummond.
That's what I was going to say, Andre Drummond. Yeah,
but I don't think it is. He was just.
He's not flying commercial.
No, but, or maybe. He is a bench player. Maybe. But,
that's right.
He, what was I talking about?
Hawaii.
Oh, Dubai. Yeah. So the seventh day, I was finally like non-panicky. And then I lucid dreamed for 4 days straight. And then when I got home, I lucid dreamed for 6 months. 6 months, not every single night, but like pretty regularly.
Really?
And then
from what? From relaxing?
From Hawaii. From just being in Chill? That atmosphere. Yeah.
Wow.
It took seven full days to douche New York out of my system. And then it kind of last.
Out?
Yeah. Yeah. Hawaii kind of had a big impact on me.
Damn. Yeah, I got to an island in Cambodia, and I remember going, like, and from traveling, it was the first time where I was like,
yep.
I don't have to do anything, and I'm not headed to the next place.
Yeah.
I wasn't, but it was still like, the point here is to chill.
Yeah.
And it was like 3 days, even there, even after already traveling for 2 months, of like, oh, relax.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It takes a lot of...
Like, I'm thinking I'm going to get a daiquiri maybe in a couple hours.
That's what helps it is like... Because also, when I was drinking back then, I got off the plane in Hawaii and I let it rip. And we instantly went to a beach. We camped out overnight. We were with my wife's friend's friend. So they like showed us all of Hawaii, like this one, this one separated beach. And we camped it. We had a tent on it. It was unbelievable. So, but we raged immediately. So then I'm up the next morning at like 6 a.m. New York time, still panicking. So it took a while to like, get all of that, even the post-booze anxiety out.
It's just like, there's something to be able to like, I'm going to go to the lounge chair and I'm going to read, sit, kind of stare. How long are you going to stare for? Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stare at the ocean.
Yeah.
It's hard to get in that vibe, but it's so relaxing.
I had that in Tulum, which is, the downtown Brooklyn of Mexico. And it's just constant white girls running around buying shirts. But,
really?
Yeah. Okay, and it was very relaxing, like really serene.
That's a scene.
And then I found out as if he was a close friend, but it did bum me out. Mac Miller died like while I was there. And I was like, oh, like man, he's one of my favorite rappers. Like I really liked him. He's young as shit. He has a drug problem. He's depressed. It like reminded me of myself. So I'm immediately like narcissistically attaching myself to it.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. Aww. I died kind of.
We were on mushrooms when Robin Williams died in this.
Oh, my God.
We went to this house for Shroomfest in Joshua Tree, outside Joshua Tree, great, where you could like hike right up the place and then all the rocks. And we're just tripping out like daytime. And someone's like, Robin Williams died, committed suicide. And I remember looking at my buddy Matt Edgar and was like,
we'll deal with this later.
Yeah.
Anyway, look at this swing. Like, this is not, let's just not let it in yet.
I found out he died on the tail end of a 2-week commercial shoot across the country. I was, for Trulia, that home rental app or whatever. We went to 11 cities in 4 weeks, or no, in 2 weeks, and operating on zero sleep whatsoever. It's this entire thing. I'm drinking like my second bottle of wine on a Acela train headed from Boston to DC. And I saw that and just burst into hysterics, mostly because I was just like tired, exhausted, you know, just worn down, drunk. I had like
watch a movie on a plane, cry.
Yeah.
I had like, what? Why am I so emotional?
It meant something completely different. It was like not all Robin at all.
Yeah.
But you knew him, right?
No, I met him once going to Meltdown. I didn't even meet him. He just like held the door open for him, and then I was like, oh, I think it was Robin Williams. No, I didn't know him at all. And also, like, we had as a standard when I started, like, that guy steals jokes.
Yeah.
So it was like, and it was so backed up from the old guys at the Comedy Store. Like, there was one guy who, like, he stole my whole act. We're just like, all right, we'll write another act.
Right.
It's been 35 years. You got to write another hour. You can't have this. I get it. You're victimized, but you can't have this be define you.
But
forever.
That's kind of a credit.
It is.
At that point.
And people go, you know, that guy stole, you know, Robin Williams stole his act. It is a credit, but it's like, don't want to define you. But like, still, it's not your fault. But like, all the other guys, like,
American Eagle Flight 4855 is now fully boarded out of gate Acela 24. If you are a ticket and confirmed passenger on this,
we're good.
You're good, yeah. Where are you? You're
224. Or 212.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not going yet.
Yeah, you're fine.
I mean, all the old guys were like, yeah, you would like riff or something, do a joke, like, that's funny. They do it on Tonight Show, like, the next night.
Oof.
And he'd say, like, I'm riffing so much, I can't tell where it comes from. But people are like, we don't really believe, like, I don't know. I've done it where you say something, and then you're like, oh, shit, that's somebody else's joke.
Yeah.
Right then. Sometimes you apologize. Sometimes you're like, I just won't do that ever again.
Right.
But yeah, like, he did it all the time. Like, that was willful ignorance.
I think it was. That's exactly what it was. I think it's a little bit of both. Like, he probably absorbed some shit, but then part of him also trust fall and didn't give a shit about hurting anybody. So he was just like, "Yeah, like, I'm gonna use everything."
That's like, So like, Attell, he goes crazy asking like, "Ari, have you ever heard this joke before?" It's like a birthday hat for a fucking dog. I'm like, no. He's like, it's a joke, but that's, I don't know, so whatever. And then I'm like, no. And he's like, nothing. He's like, I'm picturing like a door guy at the store. And I was like, no. You know, I would just move to New York. He goes, and then he goes, can you call a door guy and ask him? And I was like, yeah, okay. And I called a door guy. I'm like, have you heard this joke? Anybody else?
Holy shit.
Like, okay. So that guy goes out of his way to check.
Yeah.
Now, the other people that you've heard of that steal jokes, I think they're just like, the opposite. Like, it might not be fully like I'm taking that joke, but it's like I'm not even questioning where it came from.
Yeah, it's better to just feign ignorance and just be like, well, that's clearly mine. I came up with it. I just thought it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like okay. I mean, we've all done it where you've had a bit and you're like, that came out too formed.
Yeah. I said Greg Giraldo's name on stage once because I just literally came out with a thing and I was like, that was verbatim a Greg Giraldo bit. I was like, that's crazy. I'm sorry. That just came out in the moment and I just seemingly borrowed his shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
It happened more in the beginning because I was more obsessively watching stand-up. Like now, I don't watch as much.
Whenever Attell would come into the store, rarely, but when he'd come in, the next 2 months, I would talk like Attell.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't even do it anymore, but my friend's like, you're doing it again. Yeah.
Well, because it's one of those things where sometimes people, it's a Hedberg, Attell, like they have that cadence. Yeah, exactly.
I have my friend yell at me when I start talking like Brody. I was like, just interrupt me at the store. Just interrupt me. And just go,
on
hey,
stage?
Brody. Yeah.
No shit.
Like,
oh,
thank you. It was like a problem.
That's so funny.
Madrigal had a lot too. People talked about like Madrigal, which is unique, and I mean the same reason Madonna was like took a British accent.
Yeah,
it was like, I don't know, it's cool. I'm around these
people. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
I mean, I trashed Madonna for that, and then also I am 100% guilty of the same thing because when I played basketball, dude, my first 2 years of college were like so embarrassing. When I came home and my friends were like, who are you, dude? Like, what is this new affect? Your whole outfit? Like, this sucks.
Dude, it's so funny. I came home to Maryland, and we were going out to a bar with my friends, and I took off my like, two-hip fucking jacket, you know, one of those, like, Guido jackets.
Yeah.
And then I had a wristband on. It was a multicolored wristband. Oh, no. It was like skater chic. And my friend's like, I'm staring, and I'm like, what? Like, you going to play tennis? I'm like, dude, this, I'm fucking way cooler than you. They're like, oh, my God, dude. And they still had the backwards baseball caps with their polo shirts because they're slumming it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing is I couldn't – my friends were making fun of me, so I didn't even take it serious because I'm like, you're wearing fucking Affliction, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you suck.
Yeah, you stink.
Oh, look at you. A real New York Jew. He's probably on our flight.
Yeah.
Probably on my flight.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. It's got a little microphone cover.
Yeah. Hey, let's do – instead I usually do these as a drop in the middle of it, but let's just do dates.
Yeah.
So it'll be out on Tuesday.
Okay. May 18th is my big one.
Everybody?
Mike Cannon.
May 18th is what?
My special is dropping on YouTube called
May 18th.
May 18th.
Shit, I wish I could save this till then.
That's perfectly fine. But Mike Cannon Comedy on YouTube.
I'll post about
it. It's called White Privilege Homeless. That's coming out May 18th. And then my dates are at MikeCannonComedy.com. I'm going to be at... you said Tuesday. I'll be in Richmond, Virginia this weekend then. And then the next weekend, I'll be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Mike Cannon Comedy?
MikeCannonComedy.com.
With two N's. And the TSA, the clear lady, could not spell.
She Cannon. Spelled it cannot.
Cannot.
She said, is it C-A-N-N-O-T?
And no, the,
her other lady goes, it's Cannon.
She's like, oh, right, right. What? Yeah, she was baffled. And then when they open up two more lines. So then the line is like, we're not going to be out of time to do this. And then the line just started moving. We're like, we'd already be through. Fuck. And now we can't be like, lady, goodbye.
And then don't worry. I have to do it again. So I have to get out of here, go through additional security at Delta.
You can't go from here to, no, bag claim A gates. You can get there.
Oh, okay.
You can get there.
Oh, great.
It's all connected. It's a terminal.
All right. That's good.
Maybe you have the extra hour.
Yeah.
I intentionally flew Mike on a later flight so that I could have the extra hour.
So I'd have to hang. So
yeah. I'm like, I'd rather be alone. Just wait.
I got to say, man, I love your crowd.
They're a good comedy crowd, right?
They're a good comedy crowd. They're hysterical after because they are, you know, each person, you could tell which part of your personality they latch on to, whether it's like the people that are super into art and experimental art, you know, and stuff like that, and they're just wanting to see the process, or is the people that are like Shroom Fest and Shroom Fest only, and I love this, and I'm on heavy dose of DMT in the front row.
Do that guy who was like afterwards, like, oh, I didn't know I'd see you in the parking lot. He goes, I got to Mike. He was like, I got a bump for you, and I got a mushroom for you, Ari. And I was like, all right, no, we're good on both fronts. Yeah, just cool, Jay, and go home.
It's 1:30 a.m. post two shows. It's like the one thing I want to do right now is a blast.
I barf on me, and I'm ready to go.
I want to start my night.
Yeah, like, nah, dude. It's like that's when you know you're a responsible drug addict. You're like, yeah, I'll take everything, but what time is it?
Yeah, I have stuff to do.
This is an 8 p.m. thing, right before sunset. Not at 2 a.m. Are you crazy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I got a meeting.
I have kids.
Yeah. I got... Ari's dates are, I got my special, June 11th and 12th in New York City, in Brooklyn, New York. Get tickets at arishafir.com. The 12th will be the last time I ever do that hour, so that'll be a good one on this. The late
it's
Sunday.
Fucking great. It's really great.
Saw it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And then I got this weekend Buffalo at Helium, the weekend after that Jacksonville with Adrian Appalucci will be with me, and then nice. Louisville. With Caitlin Palufo, Kansas City, and a residency in Austin the last weekend of May.
Anyway, oh, nice. Are you just doing new?
No, I'm just going to do that Jew hour for like 6 days.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
As the leading up to the thing?
Yeah.
Nice.
Just so I have a bunch of runs that I'll take the weekend off before that. And then the next tour with a different hour starts June 17th, 18th in Minneapolis and Chicago.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah. So I already have that hour. So it's like.
But so it's banked material that you have.
It's also, so I was doing all this Jew shit, and then it was like, well, what if I saw somebody like eating their own shit on my friend's stoop? I'm not going to not do a bit about that.
Yeah.
It doesn't go in the hour, but like for a week, I'm going to be talking about that. So all this like extra stuff built up.
Yeah.
And so then, this last year, I'm like, was working on all that stuff. So it was just like.
That's great. But how do you shift your mind to that? Because once I'm like locked into an hour, it kind of takes a moment for me to get my brain out of that.
Yeah. So
routine.
I had this, I don't know. It was so sort of done. I did it in San Antonio. I did the Jew Hour. Sarah Tolomash was opening for me. And so I started booking a bunch of places I hadn't been. I was like, I don't want to do ever an hour where I already was.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's got to be new material. A joke here or there, fine, but mostly new material.
Yeah.
And so, so he's going to try to come sit next to us. Now she turned around. So anyway, San Antonio, I did it. And somebody's like, oh, it went fine, went well. And then there's this show one. And then,
how you doing?
Trying to multitask.
Yeah. it's like airport Wayne's World.
Yeah. And then somebody's like, yeah, it was great. Well, the door guy's like, yeah, you did that last time you were here. And I was like, wait, did I? And
oh, really?
Like, yeah, I think you were in San Jose. I was like, fuck, because it's like it was a 3-year tour. I forgot right. where I played. And I'm sure it's tweaked and gotten better or something. But I'm like, did I? And he's like, yeah, like, yes. Yeah. And then I think it was just a Thursday show. And then Friday, I was like, well, then I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So I just had to go back to the old hour.
So you like lost the whole weekend of work.
I know. And then the door guy was like, wait. You just did an entirely new hour, show to show? And I was like, it's not as cool as you think, but yeah.
I mean, that is pretty cool, though, because that's like Jenny shit. Like, Richard Jenny used to do that, where he'd swap hours. Brian Regan does that, where he swaps hours.
The story I heard in D.C. was they told Regan somebody came up to a meet and greet after the show, the merch line. I go, that was great. Me and my wife always come see you. We're actually going to come see the next show, too, because we're such fans. And he was like, and I always go home.
Right.
But he was like, okay. And he just did a whole new hour. For those two people in a sold out show.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that too, though, because anytime that I go and there's people like, you know, some of the people that saw that came to see you obviously know me from on a smaller level, but I was.
Yeah, you had some, like, we recognize you claps before you went on.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
But I made sure to mention, like, or not mention, I was just doing the thing that I just taped because nobody's seen it yet. Because I was like, all the other stuff. Just because there's like four people in the crowd, yeah, whatever. It's like, oh, I guess I can't do that.
Yeah, Nate said he would do this thing where it's okay. Gives it reality.
Yeah.
He finished like he.
She's also right. She's right. She's right to walk through.
Yeah, exactly. man, why am I getting upset? Just keep going. Don't disrupt us.
This is a closed set, bitch.
Oh, we got to talk about that free speech thing.
Oh yeah.
But what Nate said, he goes, he did his. Netflix half hour, whatever, and then he started getting bonuses and stuff like that. It was the first one in the first half hour run, and then he goes, so I'll do 40, and then he goes, hey guys, just so you know, so now, or he said up top, I think I'm gonna do some new material, but then it's like I don't have a new hour, so don't be blogging and saying, oh, Nate did the old stuff. I'm telling you now, you're gonna get some of the old stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now he does that, like, it's like 40. He goes, okay, that's all my new stuff. Now let me hit you with some of the old things.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, and they're like, sweet, sweet. Because they also want to hear it, but they don't want to feel betrayed.
Well, that's like, I don't know if that's a clean comedy thing, but like, that's with Gaffigan, too, is like, they're never sick of the Hot Pocket.
They're never sick of the
Hot Pocket. They want to hear it like it's a greatest hit.
Did I tell you what I saw him?
No.
I think at the Paramount in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's for a festival, I think. And I also saw Bill Burr there with Verzi opening for him, and I was sitting next to the guy who booked Montreal, Robbie, back then, and we're just like, we're friends, you know, so we're like sitting there watching, and Verzi murdered, like, oh, with a packed, you know, 1500 seat room, and murdered, and you just see him be like, what's this guy's name? Like, Paul Verzi? And he's like, oh, and it was like, he got the call the next day.
Nice.
He was like, hey, we want you to do new faces.
Oh, that's great.
It was the best situation to showcase, instead of fucking eight people at the fucking New York Comedy Club with nobody there.
Dude, I have, I auditioned for New Faces 8 times, 6 callbacks.
Never got it.
There were also those years where I was like half offering my wife to Jeff. Like, I was like, dude, guys, whatever. Take I have whatever some momentum. Get me in there, please, for the love of God. And they told me next year 3 times. They're like, dude, next year, 3 separate times. And I was like, all right, at this point, look at my hair. I'm not getting
it's
it.
It's over.
Yeah.
They told me I was too old. They're like, you're 36, you're too old. And then they booked Duncan that year at 36 and Brendan Walsh the next year at 36. That's what I was like. Can you just tell me I'm not cool?
Yeah.
Can you just tell me you think I'm hacky or too dirty? It's fine.
Yeah. I wonder what that is, though, because we're not really similar, but I have suffered similar fate in terms of Comedy Central and Montreal.
Dude, a lot of it's just, that's the polar bear we saw.
Oh, yeah, shit.
The zoo, we saw him, that just showed underwater. That's the
winter. Dude, it was fucking huge.
It was huge. There, underwater.
It wasn't that much smaller than the hippos.
Oh, it was not that much smaller than the hippos. It's wild to be that close.
Yeah, the hippo actually.
The head was like bigger than that kid that was in front of the window.
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
Wait, what were we just saying?
Comedy Central, Montreal.
Yeah. So it's just boils down to who's cool.
Right.
And who do they want to be around? And if you don't have the stink of cool on you or the it factor is either super attractive or
not me.
Little brotherly.
Yeah.
So like Gerard had that early on. Schumer had that. People like want to look out for them. Schumer wasn't banking on like, I'm so hot, you know? And now there was Gerard. It was just like, I want to look out for those people. So people really would take them under their wings. Yeah. And want
do you know you're
them.
The first person to ask me to open for them?
Really?
Like the first person. I used to open for Chris when he first started headlining, but just because we were buddies for the most part.
Oh.
But I think I have that face
old, like,
where people are just like, he seems like, you seem like you're good. Like, whatever.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I only asked you because I don't respect you.
Yeah.
So I figured you'd be available.
And I appreciate that lack of respect.
Wow. Really?
And I canceled Soul Joles for this.
Wow. Damn.
Isn't that funny? I mean, I have no problem because it actually, it forced me
and
to
you get
then,
like, what's her name? Who's like, everyone wants her to open.
Who's that?
Rosebud.
Rosebud, yeah.
She just has that thing of like, get her. Yeah. And it's like, who gets these?
Yeah.
It's not even hype. It's just this stamp on you. Like Julia Roberts, a friend told me this. She's not hot.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody jerks off to Julia Roberts.
Right.
But
maybe back in the day.
She lights up a room with her smile.
Yes.
And so that's her it factor.
Yeah.
And then the chick from Transformers.
Yes.
She's just hot.
Yeah.
She has the it factor on hotness.
Julia Roberts, I think everybody thinks they could have sex with her. They see her and she's like attainable, super hot, like
that's what
girl next door.
Natasha was that. It was like she had this laugh that made you feel like you were welcomed and like whatever and a part of it. And she was just like super cute.
Yeah, yeah.
But not like standoffishly like hot.
Right.
But like quite attractive, but like there was something in your mind, like in a different world, if I played all my cards right, I could get that.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, like, what's it, Megan Fox, and you're like, there's no world where
no
I
world
get that. There's none.
No, you have to be like Brian Austin Green, who was famous when she was a kid.
Was in there with her mind.
Yeah,
it's saving my the other Cannon,
Nick.
Nick Cannon.
Yeah, yeah.
Dated, what's her name? Because even though she was
Mariah Carey,
fucking hag.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, I remember her from before.
Oh yeah, I mean, I would leave my wife for Uma Thurman
now.
And she's 65 or whatever the hell she
is. Or why you'll fuck a chick that you fucked 10 years ago and now they're like a mother of two. But you're like, I remember. I don't know. Something's in there.
There's also so many that I gave maybe the worst night of their life to that I'd like a mulligan on where it's like, you know, those people where you're like, man, are you done?
Interesting. It's blinking.
It is blinking.
Yeah, I'm going to stop it and start it.
Okay.
Or it's just running.
Yeah, I think you just run it out. And I think this is one of those things where the podcast just kind of ends.
It just kind of ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had those 2 minutes ahead of time, and I'll do an intro outro.
I wish you guys knew the level of stress it took to get
it was
these
40 stressful.
Minutes or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was.
I'm pouring sweat. I got 6 miles to walk to the Delta terminal. It's exciting. And it's pouring rain, so hopefully my flight even takes off.
Wow. Oh, my God. I hope I get out just in time to get delayed. It would be fucking epic.
Dude, I just am forced to fucking stay here for another night.
Yeah.
I don't see that not happening. Who do you think is it? Like, why is there an Escalade on the tarmac? Like, is that Nelly or the St. Lunatics? That's got to be somebody. Like, that's not an official airport vehicle.
No, it's not.
Do you want to share? Oh, plug my podcast? Here's the scenario. Me, Brendan Sagalow, aforementioned Chubber, and Mike Feeney. We do a hypothetical-based podcast. We do what-ifs, scenarios, all that fun stuff. You talk to your fellas.
Like what?
Like would you rather... have Ari's asshole or a baboon's, and then discuss the merits of each. It's tough because yours spurts out in a very specific area. It's not all red, but it almost looks correct in context if it were all red. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just predator phalanges hanging out of a human ass.
It's not a great asshole. It's specific to something, because if also you'd have to catch them up, right? And be like, oh, just so you guys know, that's a horrible asshole. Yeah, check out his podcast, everybody.
Yeah, it's fun.
What was I going to say? Oh, let's talk about that free speech thing down there. What was that?
That looked like
a
guy.
A Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a sanctioned thing. Like, yeah, what are those called?
Kiosk.
Kiosk, yes.
It wasn't like... I got my shirt yesterday, that Bud Light shirt, from a kiosk in Wheaton Plaza, like 28 years ago. Like a long time ago, maybe even longer. But yeah, it wasn't like, you know how they set up a little booth of their own?
Right.
And you're like, how are they here? But like, no one's chasing them out because they're like religious-ish.
Yeah.
This wasn't that. This had an official, like, it said free speech.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of think now that I'm, because the placard didn't necessarily look like that. Like, it didn't look like it was a part of the construction. So maybe he brought his own.
Stuck it on?
He sees a vacant kiosk.
It was like a big, it was like a 2 feet long.
Yeah.
And like half a foot wide with like a real thick stamp on it.
But it's one of those things, like, you ever see the like,
vote for. Yeah, but how did he get that kiosk? That was already there. That kiosk itself was like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like an official.
So that one's empty. He just stood there.
Wow.
I think that's what happened. Because do you know why? You ever see like the vote for Trump or whatever, Biden placards that they put in the front yard, and they look so official. And you're like, wow, that is, I don't know how you could even get that. And then your friend runs for like town council and they have one. And you're like, oh, you could just get those made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My buddy wanted to get, you know, those like historical things.
Mm-hmm.
It goes up like,
oh,
this,
that'd be cool.
Down and up,
yeah.
You know, and you'll pass them in Providence. I think we passed one, or maybe that was Nashville.
They have a lot in my town.
They have a lot in your town. Yeah. On the East Coast, because it's like, this is all Civil War.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, the one was like, so-and-so recorded, Johnny Cash recorded, this used to be the home of the studio, whatever. It's no longer there. It's a fucking mattress discounters, but like, you know, whatever. My friend was like, you can just make one of those.
Yeah.
And he goes, I just want it in my front lawn, and you could, no one will ever take it down. And they'll just go like, you know, he goes, you don't want to go too high, like Harriet Tubman. This is part of her, right. You know, underground. You don't feel like that. But you go like, who's like the third president? Like Aaron Burr.
Sure.
Is that his name?
I don't know. Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, Aaron Burr once stayed here when he was going to talk to the Continental Congress.
That's awesome.
And this boarding house was once here. Yeah, and then people are like, oh, and he goes, no. But there's no way to cross check.
That's awesome that he thought to attach it to real historical figures. Because my first instinct would be like, make one up about your family or something.
Right. Interesting. Oh, right, right, right.
But like that, Bill, I think that's better.
Stayed here as a, yeah.
Bill Kennedy, yeah, my former cop, now comedian uncle.
Bill Cannon. Still good. You have to piss again.
Yeah, me too.
Damn. What's your clock say?
36.
You guys got a Patreon too?
Yeah, we do. Patreon.com/scenariopod. We do a ton of bonus stuff. We have a bonus.
And that's it, just like, what's the scenario? Like, that's just the what ifs?
Here's the scenario. Yeah. We did what's. That was our first name. And then legally, we weren't allowed to do it because of Tribe Called Quest. So here's the scenario.
A Tribe Called Copyright Laws.
Uh-huh. And that's the one that's like crowdsourced in the sense that like our Patreon submits the questions. So they basically build the episode similar to Are You Garbage?
What's it called again?
Here's the scenario. Yeah, we gotta get you on.
Yeah, I'll get on that. I like fun ones. I just see Steve Burns, and he was like, he just shows crazy old clips of stand-up, and you just comment on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, shitty ones, and like, this is just fun.
That's a great,
like,
yeah.
I'll do this anytime I'm in Nashville.
We just had the Are You Garbage guys on, and it's pure fun, because what it becomes is like, listen, Answer the Internet exists, all these hypothetical stuff exists, it's not new, but it is new in terms of our dynamic and guests, because it becomes a debate show between people that know each other, so we're attacking each other personally based on your stance on nothing.
Because you don't have a sense of taste. You eat trash food.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. I do that with my Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
Ari Shaffir Patreon, where they just write in like questions on a specific, either general or sex stuff. There's like four different ones, or travel stuff, or like law, like getting arrested shit. And then I'll just read them and comment with a guest or myself.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's easy. Yeah. Audio.
And then our bonus Patreon, because people are like, we miss Irish Goodbye. Like, that was Feeny and I's pod. Mm-hmm. And so we just do basically Irish Goodbye. No. With Saglow, we just tell stories. So now it's the three of us basically doing Irish Goodbye. And it's called Blunts with the Boys, because we smoke and then just do it. Like,
you're
it's
a blunt
just a
guy,
hang.
Huh?
I love blunts, dude. It sucks.
I mean, I'll go with you. You were like, let's get papers. And I'm like, listen, you're a blunt. So I'm like, I don't normally do it, but I'm like, I'll be willing to. I'm against them. Why does it suck?
Because it's definitely not good for you. It takes away every medicinal property of marijuana.
Some tobacco.
Yeah. It's because I used to smoke cigarettes. It's 100%. Like, I used to think like, oh, I'm totally off tobacco, blah, blah, blah. And I'm smoking blunts every single day.
Is it also because you, is that playing deboarding? Nope.
Want to blow a black guy?
They might be going.
Yeah.
Are they Is it because you used to hang out with black people? Is because
probably
Blunt's a black thing. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's also a suburban. It's a suburban weed thing. Like suburban you get five on a blunt, dude. Four of your friends, and you put five. You get a gram for $20. You fill up the blunt. And you go for a ride.
It does get you fucked up more.
Yeah,
it does get you high.
But then like. So, you know, it's a total addiction thing, right? Because I'll stop smoking blunts and I'll smoke a joint and I'm like, oh, I'm just high. I don't have anxiety. Because blunts give you that little, like, extra, like, almost coffee kick to it, like a buzz.
And so you don't get anxiety when you smoke blunts?
When I smoke blunts, I do. But I like it.
Yeah.
But with joints, I'm like, oh, this is regular weed. I forgot that I also like this.
Do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very dumb. But, you know, somebody actually just blew me a fucking pipe, like a pink, hot pink bowl.
That's cool.
So I think I'm going to try to, like, transition over as best as possible.
The problem with that is you're getting the butane over and over again, they say.
Right.
But it's like, how much butane are you getting? Shut up.
Yeah. Well, some kid's fucking dying.
All right. They're definitely boarding.
It's the first oh suicide God. Kid bomber.
Mommy. I mean. Is he being stolen?
No.
Should he be doing something?
Do you know what he is? He's doing?
Oh, he's going to the family bath. He yeah. does not. That's like a fucking dog with a bath.
Dude, kids sometimes just do not want to piss. My son will have to. He's holding his dick with full fist. And he's like, and I'm like, dude, all right, let's go to the bathroom. He's like, no, I will not. And I'm like, dude, you got to piss. And he's like, absolutely not. I will not. And I'm like, I'm going to sit you on the toilet until you fucking let it go. And it's like that.
My friend is not a behavioral therapist, but a girl's leadership, like whatever. And she's with like raising kids. I don't know. She's in that world. But like, she goes, that's the last thing they have control over.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you don't tell me.
Yeah.
I'll decide. It's the only thing they have control. Food comes when it comes.
Yeah.
But like that, and so they want to like put their foot down.
Yeah, yeah, that
it's
makes
so
sense.
Weird. Like, but you have to piss.
Yeah,
trust me, it'll be better. That kid was screaming bloody murder.
Yeah, he's still doing it.
Oh, he almost got out. That was like the hard way where he gets out, and then gets dragged back to hell. Oh, just to piss. He's like, mommy,
yeah.
No. That's the thing when I'm talking about happiness goes down.
Mm-hmm.
That guy doesn't want that moment. He doesn't want everyone staring at him. He's like, you're a bad dad. You have to drag this kid to the bathroom. But oh my God. She had to come running. The wife had to come running.
Oh, that's the best.
Oh, and he's just hands up.
The dad palms up to the heavens.
Called him a jerk. He's like, that's what he's gonna. It's like,
oh yeah. There's times where I have to catch myself where I'm just like, what the fuck, dude? Like any
yeah,
like
personal, but you can piss with her, not me. It's the same fucking bathroom, you asshole. You don't think I worked hard for this family?
Uh-huh. Oh, there's nothing worse than being on the road for a weekend and my son, like, then getting home and I'm expecting, like, soldier come home to a dog energy. And he's just like, fuck you, dude. earn me back. I'm like, God damn it.
All right. Good episode.
Yeah.
Good fucking last minute episode. Thank you very much. Check out Mike Cannon, all his fucking podcasts and everything.
And the special, May 18th.
May 18th. YouTube. Will be on YouTube.com. I'll post about it on my Instagram account.
Appreciate it.
That's the episode, everybody. Listen, I think I might have gone overboard in the introduction. I did it from a bathtub. I'm trying to multitask my relaxation time and my fucking work time. And I don't know if it showed the level of professional that I am. And I'd like to apologize for these earlier actions. I'd like to lay it all bare for you, as is, you know, metaphored by this backdrop that I directed on youtube.com/AriShaffir. That's right. I'm laying it all on the line, laying it bare, bearing my soul, being a blank slate, a backdropless podcast, if you will. I've made mistakes and I'll continue to make mistakes because I enjoy doing them. And, you know, how are you going to not do something you enjoy? So that's the episode, everybody. There is something I'm forgetting to tell you, and I don't know what it is. I tell you the storytelling show on Monday. I must have, right? Anyway, something. It was something for sure. Oh, the whole thing with Mike Cannon. Dude, the fucking lady. We could have gotten right through. And then at some point, you can't be rude. You can't be like, hey, you guys are taking way too long. They made him register, and there's like, oh, the email's already used. I was like, anyways, can we go? Two more lanes open from 1 to 3. And it all went. We could have podcasted for another 5. We could have saved it. Can you imagine having that as your baby, by the way? The screaming? It didn't stop. We talked to some lady right afterwards. We talked to some lady, and she was like, can you imagine that? She goes, I just want to give him some whiskey. That's smart. That's smart. Why don't you fucking, they're all on edge, these kids. Give them a shot. Calm them. Calm them down. Why wouldn't you? What, is it going to stunt their growth? We're on so many GMOs now, it'll average out to what we should be naturally. That's science. That's pure science. Researched.
Am I recording?
I am. Well, that's the episode, you guys. I don't know if there's anything else to say. The $300, I guess, was worth it. It was cheaper than a flight. The flight was $699. Renting it was like $5-something, plus gas, $650. It was a better drive. I'll do it again that way. Yeah, I guess everything's turning out pretty great in my life. You know, you make mistakes here or there. All right, you guys, that's the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. This has been really, really great for me. And please tune in next week. Should be maybe Krista Stefano, maybe Joe List coming. Some other stuff, fun things. Subscribe, bye.
Some bright morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore.